We pray for our rulers, state level, federal level, that they will help us to lead a quiet and peaceable life in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have your seat. All right. I think this light should be enough in the hall. I think so. There's a lot of lights. Okay. So we will do just that. Let's take our Bible. We are talking about A to Z. Practical living. Pastor, why did you pick this practical living? I want to give you what I call, maybe they can type it for me on the screen, usable truth. Truth that are usable, that you can use. Okay, so let's write it down. This A to Z, they are ways and means of giving us usable truths in the Bible that we can practicalize in our lives. What we can, not just theoretical something, but something that we can use. And from letter A, you notice that from the beginning. Give us letter A again. We said, if you are going to be a very practical person, you must assume ability. What God has gifted you with, you must pick up and use it. Don't wait till somebody give you permission to do those things. Just go ahead and do them. All right. Next one is what? The blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich and had no sorrow. So you can just get up and be blessed in Jesus' name. Creativity is to try and make do with what you have. What do I say? Make do with what you have. Like one pastor was telling his wife, if I have 1,000 hams to love you, the wife said to him, I don't care about your 1,000 hams, the 2 years you have, what are you going to do with it? Okay, and we talk about discernment. How do you discern things? Quite fantastic. These things I'm teaching, they are not just for teaching and then forgetting. I like you to go over them. You know, I like to go over them. I heard somebody say something that really blessed me. He said, the fundamentals, listen to this, the fundamentals done with excellence makes one to be a winner. Say that one more time. The fundamentals done with excellence makes one to be. So these are fundamentals for practical living that if you just, for instance, this kind of disquieted, how many of you have gotten disquieted before? You've gotten one kind of feeling funny. Anybody here? Everybody. So what do you do? How do you skillfully manage that? Then we talk about emotional agility. What's that? Somebody's agile. He quickly get out of situations that are emotionally draining. When he's either angry or happy or sad, he can quickly come out of that. Not just get sad forever, you know. People don't recover from guilt and grief. You must learn how to bounce back quickly. You know, if you look at a ball, I always use that. If you have a ball, when the ball is pumped with air, if you throw it on the hard surface like this, what does it do? Bounces. Even the harder you throw it, the bouncer, it goes, the higher it bounces. So, but if it's not full of air, if it's flabby, you know, you throw it palm on the floor, what has happened? It just flat and it takes the shape of the floor. Huh? Until you can pump it again. So people take the shape of circumstances around them. They get discouraged, mean, all kind of things because they just don't. You know, if you ask those who are close to you, they can tell you, you know, that you are really changing. Sometimes, you know, you're just letting whatever is bothering you inside show all over your face. But you quickly learn to get up. For instance, no matter how sad you are on the floor, you say, snake! You won't say, I'm still sad. You take off. Am I right? Okay, so that's what's letter F? Fasting. You know, it's amazing that the word fasting and fast, they are quite close to each other. So we can say fasting is the present continuous tense of fast. that's interesting. I wonder why they use the word fast for fast. You know, why not slow? Why do they use the word fast? So great, fasting. And we're talking about goal setting and reach goal. Jesus said, I will reach my goal. You know, Jesus said that. in the book of Luke. And then we talk about what hope. We said this, if you remember, that God will give us a future and a hope. Remember? What is when you have a future and you don't have a hope, life is boring. You have time in your hand, but nothing to expect. And sometimes when you have hope and you don't have a future, you don't have the time in your hand, it can be frustrating. You have things you want to accomplish, to see, but you're not having the time. It can be very, very, very frustrating. So we look at that. And we said, if you're going to make your hope come to pass, for me, my best one is this investment. Investment is really, for me, you know, somebody say, when they saw that investment, people think, whoa, you teach us how to use cryptocurrency to make more money from Binance or something, you know? Huh? But it's just more than that. So investment is more than that. Investment is not just only cryptocurrency. Those are the means of investment. It's what you are really after. That's the investment you are investing for. So if I have a future and I have a hope, I invest toward it. I'm not just buying cryptocurrency for cryptocurrency's sake. I need to have some kind of goal that I set to reach together. I want to build my house, so I start investing. I start putting some money aside because of my children. They're going to go to university, and I'm not sure whether it's going to be public or private university as it's going. So I put some money aside. That's the reason why. Or school fees, I start putting some money aside and cut down certain expenses. So that's investment. That's invest. You are investing in something. You know, people have problems. Nigerians usually have a problem. They want to do investment as gambling. Let me explain that. You see, I don't know if you've heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. You know, he wrote a book called Rich Dad Guides to Investing. So this is not a spiritual book, but you can learn a lot of things from there. So this man wanted to get advice from the rich dad how to invest and make money. I hope you are listening. So he said, yeah, I'm ready to invest. The man said, I'd like you to go home first, pay your bills, provide for your family. He said, no, I want to invest. He said, no, you should not invest in an unstable life. You should be able to feed your family, feed your children, take care of them. Then you cannot think of investment. He said, anytime you just want to invest, not taking care of your bills and your family, you are only doing gambling or Naija bets. Praise God. Because if investment goes out, you know the meaning of going out? Doesn't work out. You can still go home and eat. Are you hearing me? But when you now put a lot of people, you have somebody say, they can multiply money for you, and you take all your money, put it to their hands. That's not investment. That is foolishness. Hello? Praise God. Praise God. Okay, so we are going to look what we call usable truths. We are learning usable truth. The things that we can use in our Christian life. Not just only just come and pray and go back home, but we're talking about what to use. What to use. So today, let's talk about something that is important. Letter J. Okay. Letter J. Let's go. Let's go to Matthew. We're going to read Matthew 7. We're going to read. Good. Let's not forget to read. Let's start from Luke 12 first. Letter J. Someone said, is that for John? Is John usable truth? Okay, let's go to Luke 12. We're just going to read. I want to read three scriptures, or four of them. So let's go, verse 54. Luke 12, 54. All right. Then he said to the multitude also, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, you know, Jesus could be such amazing sometimes. It could be very amazing. If you don't read the Bible, you are missing a lot, particularly the words of Jesus. You are missing a lot. You are missing a lot. If you look at the verse before this verse, let's look at the verse before this verse. Just come and see the brilliance of Jesus. Father will be divided. Okay, let's look at the verse before this verse. Before this verse. Okay, next verse. Before this verse. Uh-huh. Can you look up, everybody? Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all. Or rather, division. I thought it was Prince of Peace. Are you here? Let's keep reading. For from now on, five in one house will be divided against, divided three against two and two against three. Interesting. Next verse. And father be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You know, I was in Lagos over the weekend for a youth conference Saturday. And I was asking different people what their experience. And I asked one girl, just I came down, asked her. She said, I'm going through things because I'm the only one who is saved in my house. Everybody else go to this Orthodox church, but I'm Pentecostal, I follow Jesus. So sometimes my mother would tell me, you need money, go and meet your pastor in your church. You see, that's what Christ is talking about. Sometimes faith can be expensive. Sometimes, you know, you are going to a job, you're working, and the man said, if you don't do the thing wrongly, you are not going to go along with me. I'm going to remove you. What are you going to do? So faith is expensive sometimes. Now, look at next verse. I love this one. Now, after saying that, he just stopped. But you don't get the gist. What he was saying before was to his disciples who were sitting around him. Let me show you. Tell somebody beside you, read the Bible. Pay attention. Now, Pastor, you see what he just said? What he said before was talking to disciples. Let's go to Luke 12, verse 1. I want to give you a gist so that you can get hold of the gist. Verse 1. Pastor, I see letter J. I have to give you the context now. Can you look up everybody? In the meantime, when a numerable multitude of people got together so that they trample one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, did you see that? So he talked to his disciples from that moment down. He said, beware of the leaven of Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And he talked to the last place we read over there. Let's go back there. Verse what now? Verse 44, right? Okay, verse 44. Give us verse 44 again. So he was talking to his disciples. Is that 54, sorry, forgive me. Okay, 54. Said to, okay, give us 53. So he talked with disciples from verse 1 to verse 53. Are you getting the gist? Then he now stopped talking to his disciples. He now turned to the multitudes. Did you get the gist? And he said this to them, verse 54. Then he said to the multitude also. So these are not just the... So this teaching is relevant for everybody else there. It's finished discipleship class. Are you here? So all of us outside there should use this truth. So he said, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, it's our is coming, and so it is. Next verse. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather, and there is. It's like this. You wake up in the morning, you see the cloud, the sky is clear. What do you say? Oh, it's today's sunshine. And then you see cloud gathering. What do you say? You better get your umbrella. It's going to rain. Right? Look at next verse. Jesus said this. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it you do not discern this time? Amazing. So if you can put two and two together, why can't you put two and two together in your life, the rest of your life? Huh? If you know that early morning is cloudy, rain, or it's clearer, bright day, what about children life now, getting married now? Why can't you handle those other ones too? Seasons of your life. Let's keep reading. Yes, and why? Even of yourself. Please, can you look up everybody? And yes, and why? Even of yourself, do you not judge what is right? You know, Jesus was talking like this. Disciples were like this. And the crowds were over there. Jesus was talking to disciples. Now, Elan lifted up his eyes and said, hey, you crowd! Why can't you judge what is right? So, letter J is judging. To judge. To judge. He said, and yes, and why? Even of yourself, by yourself, do you judge? Do you not judge what is right? For instance, you can judge the sky, don't you? You can see the sky is rain, it's going to rain. And what do? You take your raincoat plus your umbrella. And when it's a dry day, you don't go take umbrella, except it's going to be for sun or something. Or, you know, you behave appropriately. Jesus said, why don't you, of yourself, judge? Huh? Are you here? Why don't you, you know, let's read some more. Jesus talked about cloud first, circumstances, then next verse talking about people. Okay, let's look at next verse. So when you go, you know, I don't know about you, when I didn't know better, okay, I'm still knowing better. You know, when I read my Bible now, it looks so disjointed. He said, father against mother against father. Then he said, cloud. After saying cloud, he said, judge. Then he said, when you go to advise to the magistrate, you go to Lujutsu now. Are you here? That's how many people, they don't want to read the Bible. Bible is confusing sometimes, you know. But thank God, you know, come to church like this, we'll explain it better. Amen? Like one pastor, you know, some of these pastors, they may not know the Bible very well. So one day he read Acts 16, he said, Paul and Silas and Timothy. So he thought that Paul was husband, Silas was the wife, and Timothy was their son. So when they locked up Paul and Silas, he started preaching. He said, you know what? Paul and Silas, husband and wife, were locked up in marriage, and Timothy ran all over the streets over there, and he was crying for his father and mother, and he made an altar call, people got born again. God will use anything to help people to get to where they are going. So this kind of thing. When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort. Talking about judging what is right, right? Make every effort along the way to settle with him. Lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. Any other verse after this one? I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. Last verse. Next verse. Verse 1. Okay. It's finished. So, this is practical. Jesus is talking about practical life now. There are two practical things about life you have to judge. You must know how to judge matters and judge people well. Judging people and matters. And that, whether you're going to succeed in life or fail in life, depends on how you handle circumstances and how you handle people. Am I correct? The whole of your life is about events and human beings. Things will happen around you, and people will do things around you, and you have to make choices in that. So let's talk about judging people and matters. What do you do about judging? How do you? He said, give us that verse again. Do you not judge verse, is it verse 56 now? Verse 56. Give us the next verse. Then the next verse. Yes, and why? Even of yourself, do you not judge what is right? So God wants you to look at events in your life, circumstances, and people in your life, and make appropriate conclusions about them. Now, remember, that story finished with people about going to court, remember? Let's go back to that story there. We'll learn something from there. I didn't even see that before. Let's go to verse 50. Can you look up everybody? I need your attention. Can you look up about judging? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to who? Now wait, who is the judge? Judge is somebody who has been trained, who has qualified to sit on whatever I sit on to give certain conclusions about matters. I'm making some sense. You just can't pick any lawyer who just finished school now and make him a judge. Usually you run around as lawyers for a while, then you go to some training, then they make you a judge, and they make you a judge at different levels. Maybe customary court, magistrate, then court of state courts, then federal, and then supreme. You may never reach supreme all your life as a judge. Only if you make it in life. So you can see that those who occupy the seat of the judge, they have learned and they have been qualified to do that. So it means that you just can't judge anyhow. I can't just take any case to anybody, any place, anytime. So let's look at that. He said, you judge, but let's go to Matthew 7 now. Let's go to Matthew 7. Then we read 1 Corinthians 2, so I'll pull them together. Are you here with me? Am I making some sense? Judging people and matters in your life. Let's go. You know, the Bible can be very confusing, but if you just find the thread through it, it will help. Let's go to Matthew 7, verse 1. Beautiful. Can we do something? Before we go there, let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Luke 12 again, verse 54. Let's read the Message Bible before we leave there. Luke 12. Give us a Message Bible. Thank you. Then he turned to the crowd. When you see clouds coming in from the west, you say storms coming, and you are right. Next verse. And when the wind comes out of the south, you say, this will be a hot one, and you are right, and it's hot now. Am I right? Next verse. Frauds. You know how to tell a change in the weather. So don't tell me. You can't tell a change in the season. The God season we are in right now. Wow. Look at next verse. See? What is it? You don't have to be a genius to understand these things. Just use your common sense. That's not common anymore. Huh? Let's keep reading. The kind you use, if while being taken to court, is there to settle up with your accuser on the way, knowing that if the case went to the judge, you'd probably go to jail and pay every last penny of the fine. That's the kind of decision I'm asking you to make. So judging properly matters and people, so that you will not have unnecessary consequences over your life. A lot of time, we run into trouble in our lives because we make wrong decisions and we judge inappropriately. But thank God, we can assign the judge to higher courts and make changes available. Look here, if you learn how to judge well, you will never, never be caught in any trouble for too long. Even when it's your own mistake, you will judge yourself out of it. Are you hearing me? Don't ever think your life is finished. Don't ever think you have gone that way. There's nothing else can change. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. You can make amends on any issue, anything, anytime. The only time you can make amends is when you are dead. How many of you are dead here? If I see your hands up, dead walking. No. Praise God. Okay. So let's go to Matthew 7, verse 1, New King James Version. Then we'll read it again, Message 2. Are you here with me? Let's go. No, give us in King James Version, NKJV first, then we'll come here. Quickly. Okay. Judge not. Okay, we're talking about judging, right? And it says, judge not that you be not judged. Someone said, you know, the Bible is confused. It says, you should not judge, that's it, we should not judge again. But stop. Read the Bible. Read. Don't just kind of take one verse and run off. How many of you go to school, you take one lecture and forget the rest of the course? Do you do that? You don't do that now. Okay, let's keep reading. Judge not, I'm not judged. Next verse. For with what judgment you judge, you'll be judged. And with the measure you use, measure back to you. So the Lord Jesus is saying this. Don't judge. Be very careful in judging. Because at the end of the day, they will also judge you by the same way you are judging others. So it's not. Are you here? Let's keep reading. So, it's going on. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, but don't consider the plank in your own eyes? You know speck of dust. When you go to summit, you see dust. Then there's also plank. You know plank? One by 12. Baku. Baku. So he said, you see the speck in person's eyes, but you got plank in your own eyes. Let's keep reading. Now, how can you say to your brother, follow this verse? It's not saying you should not judge, but follow now. Let me remove this speck from your eye. And look, a plank is in your own eye. Now look at next verse. This is the answer. Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly. So he wants you to judge clearly. He doesn't say you should not judge. Just be responsible. If you go to court of law and the judge will start judging from the beginning, it's a bad case. Are you hearing me? I mean, you just enter the courts and then you sit down between prosecutor and defendant. And the judge says, I don't like you. I don't like you. You know, it's going to be a bad case. But if you are smarter, raise up and say, judge, as a partiality going over here, I ask you to recluse yourself from this case. Huh? So you don't just quickly, if you go to court of law, have you ever seen judges sitting down? They look so dull. They are almost unemotional. Huh? They ask questions. They quiet. Somebody said, people that should be judged or surgeons, they should not have extreme emotions. You know what I just said? You know, I mean, can you just imagine a surgeon open your body and say, hey, oh my God, will you live by me?
What will you do?
You know somebody who is calm, cool, when he looks at it, say, next. That's what you need. Or a judge in the court, they say, hey, little boy, 10 billion. You want a court, the case is already against you, you know? So you have to calm down and blow. It is steal the money. Everybody knows it's steal the money, but you as a judge, won't. Can you imagine? It's a bad case. Judge is not easy. Whatever you do. So you should judge carefully. You should judge slowly. You should judge with the mindset that doubt can be applied to you too. Clear? So we are judging your husband, judging your friend, judging Tinubu, everybody. We're going to use the same measurement on you. All right. Let's read this verse in Message Bible. I love it in Message Bible. From verse 1. Give us Message Bible. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Tinubu uncle. Let's go one more time. Don't pick on... Go back. Don't pick on people. Now, don't forget that we are going to judge people and matters. Am I right? But don't start picking on them, jumping on them. So we're already biased. And criticize their fault. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. You know, let me show you something about this. You know, one of the marks of somebody who is grown up is that faults don't get you too critical. Let's go to chapter 6, Galatians, verse 1. I want to show you something here, and we'll come back here. Let's go to Matthew, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Take a look. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, can you look on the screen? You who are spiritual, take a look. You who are what? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. See, when somebody enters a fault, and that's a fault, either spouse or friends or community or group of people, when somebody's faulty and you start, you are not spiritual. Man, in my marriage, I can see all my wife's faults. If I'm really spiritual, I'll be gentle with her. Some of you are already marking yourself out now already. Your mouth is sharper down. I thought it's a mark of spirituality is that I can see it and I can tell it. In a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, people that kind of get on people and mess them up and say all kinds of things, they never think it will happen to them because it can never happen to them. Stupid. Let's read it in Message Bible. I'm talking about judging properly. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly, do what? Restore him. Saving your critical comment for yourself. So you've got to get critical on yourself. Like this now. Somebody did something bad now. So say, whoa. So what are you winning? You can say that. Or you can say, Tunde, so you want to listen, let's see what now. You got that? Oh, that's good for yourself. It's a good medicine for yourself, not for the other label. Now, don't get me wrong that we don't rebuke. We rebuke, get me right. There's a place of judging. We're going to see that in a minute. Live creatively. Some point to say, save your critical comment for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Some of you never heard of this at all. There was a man of God called Jim Baker in America in 1979/80, that time. The man had some problem with his wife. He just went into having an affair. One of the biggest TV network, Christian network, it was one of the pioneer Christian network, PTL, Peter Law Show. And so when he messed up like that, a particular minister, they both share the same first name. He was Jim Baker, this one, Jim Swaggart. So Jim Swaggart got on him, exposed him, called him all kinds of names. I mean, couple of months later, they caught the man that was criticizing him, the prostitute. It was a big thing in America. It messed up a lot of stuff, man. We recovered before you came. And whatever is coming again, we will recover. Because Jesus is the head of the church and he's not a sinner. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. You know, praise God. So we're dealing with how do you judge properly? How do you judge? So that's where we're going today. How do we judge properly? Let's read something before we go further. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2 to round up this and then we'll come back. 1 Corinthians 2. Judging people and matters. Letter J. Judging. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 15. Okay. All right, take a look. But he who is spiritual, what does he do? Yeah, this is the combination. He who is spiritual, remember, he that is spiritual, restore. Remember, first of all, remove the plank from your own eyes. So a spiritual person has removed the planks. Huh? So you can see clearly the specks. Huh? All right, let's go further. He who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. You know the meaning of this? When he finished judging, everybody will say, Bellory. There will be no reason for criticism. Have you ever seen them? They go to Supreme Court, they go to court. And when you come back from court, say, judge, you will say, Dada, are you hearing me? But when you see a good judge, when the case is finished, you can't add more to it. May God bless you like that. When you handle a case, when you finish and turn, people will say, we can't improve on this again. Isn't that beautiful? How many of you want to reach there? Me too. I'm reaching there. I'm going here. He who is spiritual judges all things. Yet himself. Now look at what he says next. I love this. Why? For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So it means that that person who is a judge, spiritually judging, he has the mentality and the mindset of Christ. And Christ can handle any case well. Jesus judged circumstances well. Look at this. Can you look at this? Judging things well, concluding well on things. Look at Jesus. Look at this. Can you look at this? Can you look at this? Jesus went to go and pray on the mountain. While he was praying in the night, he saw his disciples in the dark, struggling with the boat. And Jesus judged it proper to climb down the mountain and walked on the water to go and meet them. Another time, he never walked on the water. He used boats. Let me show you another one. Jesus judging properly issues matters. Jesus was going through Samaria and he was hungry and tired. He sat down at the well, told them to go and buy bread. He didn't multiply bread at that moment. Another time, he told them, bring what you have, multiply bread. The trouble is that you want to multiply bread at Samaria. Huh? And then try to buy bread for the crowd. See, am I making some sense? Jesus knew appropriate things to do at appropriate time. If there's anything I want, is that I want to be like that. That I will not be going south, but I will be going west. Oh. You know how I know this? When I do things well, my wife is happier. When I don't do things well, Baba, Falaba left. You know, I don't want to. You know, let me make you laugh. We had husband's program on Sunday, and my wife has traveled. I had to take all the services, so I was not in the mood of hearing any extra work. So I said to her, I'm going to meet with the husband. Even not me, somebody else will do that for me. My wife said, by the way, can you check the ladies? Ladies care. First service, second service, third service, even the men. You check anybody? You? Now I knew that I was not judging well. I was not judging well. That's just been biased toward men against women. So I climbed up, finished with the women, with the men. You know where I took? Instead of coming to the hall, I went that way and entered the hall where the women were meeting. And I said, I didn't want to come here. My wife said I should come. I didn't want to come, but I'm here now. Everybody started clapping. Huh? Jesus gave us one parable about a man having two sons. He told one son, go to the farm for me. He said, I ain't going nowhere. Later he changed his mind and went. Second one, he said, go to the farm for me. Daddy, have your own way. He never went. Jesus said, who obeyed his father? All right. So, learning to appropriately choose things. This affects everything from your brushing, are you hearing, to your walk, to everywhere. If you don't brush, if you don't judge brushing your mouth, you're going to have problems. No matter, this by that in life, they come at us. Because if you don't properly, you see, if you have hope for the future and you are investing, you have to keep your eyes open to know what you are doing with your life. Or else, our life is like a car. Somebody has to hold the steering wheel and judge where that car is going. If you get your hands off the car, you're going to find yourself where you never expect. Did you hear about that news? About two pilots, they were in the same at Indonesia. Did you hear the news? The two pilots slept off. Or they could sleep because they can put the pilot, they can put the plane on autopilot. And the one said, please wait, I want to sleep. That one said, okay, I will wait. And when the one was waiting, the other one was sleeping, they were both sleeping. And then they woke up, the plane had gone off to Kaduna from the way to Lagos. So thank God, they could grab it back. They turned it back. So they said, they give them query, but at least they landed. Because it's the label you can give query to. You know, so that, but it happens to all of us. Sometimes we just not take the pilot as a pilot, we just drift away. We all drift like that. It happens to all of us. So you have to learn how to put yourself back judging rightly things in your life. So let's talk about judging. How do you become a better judge? Judging things in your life. You have money in your hand. How do you judge what you should do with it? You have choices of people in your life. Something happens. Somebody just behave one kind. In my younger days, I quickly just jump into things. You know, something happened. I just let the next available response in me just move in. So I'm learning to wait and sometimes take advice. That's why when you go to court, they will ask you to employ lawyers who can convince the judge. And sometimes a case may not even be right, and the case will be won by the person who talks better. Make some sense? All right. Let's talk about how do you go about becoming a proper judge of people and circumstances in your life. How do you know how to judge moments? Let me give you an example. Okay, whoever has that phone, just try and put it off. Thank you. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. Let's go to Matthew 7. Hallelujah. Are we still here? My time is so fast. Okay, are we here? Judge not that you be not judged. The very first thing you must learn, if you are going to judge situation properly, don't be a quick judge. Don't rush in. Just wait. I have a propensity when somebody is talking to jump in before they finish. So I first have that kind of habit. The pastor has one like that. Because the trouble is that if I let you finish, I will not remember what I want to say. That happens to all of us. But the Bible is saying that you should learn to give us a message Bible. Have this mindset. Give us this verse. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. You must learn to do that. Don't jump, don't pick, don't criticize their fault quickly. Yeah. The people are queer, people are, they can have failures, they have their faults. Praise God. Are we here? You know, one thing that bothers me about people around us today, listen to this. Many of you are surprised by people. I wonder why you are surprised. Aren't you one of them? You know, Paul, I want Nigerians to say bye. You know, one day they asked a police officer, why are police corrupt? He said, where are they from? They are from Nigeria now. They are from among our society now. So, you know, you should not be sometimes bothered by people. Ah, Pastor, you don't know what he did. You see, all of us over here, we have a propensity to magnify people's fault and minimize our own fault. Everywhere is quiet. So, the very first thing you should do if you are going to learn to judge is to not be too quick. Oh, Isaiah 11. Beautiful. Glory to Jesus. I said glory to Jesus. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 3. Is delight. Take a look at this verse. Beautiful verse. Is delight, talking about that, the anointed one, Christ. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Now look at it. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. I had a case of like this recently, a couple of weeks ago. Somebody came to me and told me about a particular event that happened. And you know what? The two of them were involved in the event. I only had one side, and I made judgment on that one side. Hello. And I didn't hear the other side. And so, later, the other person, other side, came to see me. I didn't see anything. The person had brought up the matter. And, there's this other side that I was not told. And I told myself, you know, that's what happens to you usually. You turn to hear the other side. And usually I like to hear the other side. But just like, I'm like you, human. Tell somebody beside you, you're just like pastor. Just human. Oh, you're not like pastor. You are inwi or something. You know, sometimes when Prophet Ade come over here and talk about himself, we all laugh. We're all just like that. It's not special, it's not different. We're all like that. Just that you're not the one with the microphone, you know. Somebody was telling me, say, Reverend, I don't understand. You just lay everything out like that. I can't be as free as you. You know, if you're a woman at home, you say, concern only, there are two meat left. Concern only, I'll be doubting your integrity. What I say, and I made you look leo. Baba Macmenio. Kawa, a man of Lawa Leo. Mamma Yoko. And you say, I mean, tell the truth. I shame the devil. Even when you are saying that, you start getting convicted. You just judge yourself. You're position. I'm not going to say that. So you start withdrawing from it. So what I'm saying to you, first of all, is that don't judge by what you see. Don't quickly go by what you see, you know. You have to look. My first time, my wife and I, we went to Dubai. Many people don't do that. You know, we're moving everywhere. Everything was looking like flash, 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 flash. You know what I did? I said, "Dear, let's look underneath this. This serenity is run by 24/7 human resource powered, working like machine. Everyone looking glittering, but what people working underneath? Some of them don't have any accommodation. They sleep right on the road in Dubai. But you just saw that glim, 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 glim. I look underneath. One day, my wife and I, we took our took somebody to the school. We want to enter that school. Oh, the school was beautiful. The school was, you can see the campus. I said, "Dear, let's look underneath. It's not the beautiful campus. It's what they teach you in the class that matters here." So you must learn to look underneath. Don't just look at that. You know, today is everything. Pa, 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 pa. Just look underneath. Even when people make mistakes, look underneath. I mean, look at this now. They brought a woman to Jesus, caught in the very act of adultery. But did you ever ask, where was the man that they committed adultery with? How could that one escape and leave this on? There's some bias going on here. A lot of people judge things, not because of the things, because of their bias. Praise the Lord. Are we here? Making some sense? So, learning to judge people and matter. Number one, don't look at what you see quickly. Don't let what you see carry you away. Take your time. Look at it. Your wife may sound as if she's insulting you. But stop. Maybe there's a pain, an agony in her heart as you want to express. Are you hearing me? You know, there was a man, when David was being chased out by his own son, there was a man that came out to start cursing David. Start cursing David. Start cursing, cursing David. And one of the army boys, you know, just say, "Master, let's cut off his head. This guy that is just this dog." You know what David said? David assumed spiritual idea. David said, "Leave him alone. If my own son wants to kill him, how much more? Number two, God will hear that curse and spare me." He didn't mean he didn't judge the guy later. When he was dying, he called his son, "Mojuto." You hear what I'm saying? You can see that. But you know, you just don't like that. So when you are dealing with matter like that, take the time. Give yourself that kind of break. That break is what makes us really better. That quick, not just doing something quick, judged by the sight of his eyes, decided by the hearing. Whatever you are hearing, oh, somebody said, "That's an investment." Stop. Hey, you know what happened? Everybody's buying that thing. Stop. Ask yourself. Now, let's talk about something else that is important. Matthew chapter 7, verse 2. Quickly, let's go there. If you want to judge properly, for what judgment you judge, you'll be judged. Measurement you use, it'll be measured back to you. Now, anytime you want to set up a matter, ask yourself, if it were me, will I like this on me? Everybody, listen to this. This is so important. This is so important in judging matters. Ask yourself this question. If that same thing is applied to me, will I be okay with it? Maybe I should give you like this. Matthew 7, verse 13. Or is it verse 14 now? Let's look at it. Is it Matthew 7? Okay. I want to get a verse for you that, Matthew 6. It's Matthew 7, verse 11. Matthew 7, verse 11. Look at this. Men evil, give good gift to your children. Look at next verse. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This is the summary of Genesis to Malachi. Give us a message, Bible. I love this. Here is a simple rule of thumb, guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Now follow. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophet, and this is what you get. Whatever you want people to do for you, grab the initiative and do it for them first. Let's go back to Matthew 7, verse 2. Let's go to verse 3 now. This is the work you have to do on your life. Give us Matthew 7, verse 3. Give us in a NKJV. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Number one, I said, you must learn how to be slow in taking step. And second, ask yourself if you are the person. Then number three, you have to do extra work in removing the plank in your own eyes. You should be, you see, judges that are in the court of law, they don't go around. They live usually a life that is separated. They don't have commitment to people collecting gifts from everybody, if you notice that. They don't expect judges to be collecting gifts and be flying around with some of these criminals and stuff. So they expect you to be honorable. So, give us next verse. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eyes. Look at next verse. Therefore, first remove the plank from your own eyes. Then you will see clearly, this is where I'm going, to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. You know, let me be personal. As a pastor, it's very easy to just give you the word. Don't do this, do that. Can you come? Bible says this. And you know, sounds good. That's kindergarten preaching. You know, throw this at people, throw that at people. But really, when you mature in preaching, you spend time getting the planks in your own eyes and see how to handle it so that you can tell people how to do it better. Not just do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that, do that, do that. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you here? So you need to spend time clearing your own obnoxious biases and opinions. You're going to have to spend time in the Word of God to dissociate yourself from getting too personal with yourself. When you are a doctor and they bring a patient in that is your relative, they will say, don't touch. Am I right, sir? Don't come near. That you can be too personal. So in the same way, you have to distance yourself from life and start being with the master, reading his word, and let his word start forming your own opinion about life. Start looking at things, not just the way you want to look at it. Is there another way to look at these things besides what I'm looking at? So you have to do a big job. What's that big job? Removing the plank. You know, I was in a meeting years ago. I learned my lesson. I was in a meeting years ago. And this person was asked to give a speech. And this person was so brilliant in analyzing Nigerian problem and doing a research on corruption in Nigeria. Oh, boy. I was there sitting in the meeting. They gave us a copy of the presentation. Now, that person later became an oga of a place. He did worse than what he reported about. And you know why? It's clear, simply because he's busy looking at the speck. Let me tell you something. When somebody picks money, when somebody lies, when somebody abuses language, it's just a speck. There are bigger things beyond that. You don't know what's going on. See, that woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, all they see was one just babble. They just together on the bed. So Jesus said something. He started writing on the floor. He said, what do you say? He said, you know what? Anyone who has not thrown, who has never sinned before, let him throw the first two. All right? So we should throw stone over here. But who has never sinned before? Throw the first two. There was only one person who could throw it there, Jesus. The Bible said they began to leave from the older, because the older you are, the more sin you commit. Huh? Agbawabura. Thank you. Now, Jesus properly judged that matter. Place is quiet today. Let me show you something about gaining life. How to gain life. Let's talk about dealing with people around you. Judging properly. This is one of the best things you can ever do with your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go. Quickly. We don't have all the time in the world. Let's start rounding up. Judging people around you. Let me show you some things about judging people. Let's look at NLT. Maybe this will help us. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Can you look on the screen? Are we here, everybody? Remember what we read in Luke 12, that before you go to court, settle with the person. Remember? That you don't have to go to court and be thrown up, and be thrown up, and thrown up. Why do we have to go to court? Because there is no other reasonable way to settle it. Am I right? Am I right? Thank you. Now, if there's no other reasonable way, then we go to court. Then Paul was saying that Christians should have better judgment. We may have to resort to court simply because other believers can't handle it. Let's go on reading. Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? Hey! And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourself? Do you know what kind of potential God has for each one of us over here? You know, we are still dealing with all this rap, you know, somebody abused me yesterday, so I couldn't wake up properly this morning, so I started smoking. Somebody said, I will not make it in life, so I stopped going to school. And somebody looked at my shop and he said, Kilonta, I will see that you don't style over here. Somebody shop me. I went for a lecture and then my PhD thesis. My lecturer said, I cannot finish this thing, Lila. So you close and go home. I never go out to school again. You know, we believe us. We do. And we're supposed to. Can you imagine that? What God is saying is that if God wants to run this country, he will say, okay, since you can't get anybody, get a Christian. What? Today, if God comes to you and said, come and take the Ministry of Trade and Tourism, can you run it? Trade and Tourism. I mean, when we have marital dispute, it's a failure of judgment. When we crash our lives, it's a failure of judgment. I've always said this. When you see a car having an accident, it's never the fault of a car, it's the driver. There is no problem. Marriage has no problem. If people are involved, they have problems. Business has no problem. People are involved, they have problems. And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Can't you even come to a conclusion? Oh, I'm insulted. It's just insulted me. So what? It just insulted me. So how do I process that judgment? Look at next verse quickly. Let's go. Don't you realize that we will judge angels? Hey, we're going to be calling shot over angels one of these days. Can you just imagine that? Angels with all their might and power. Christians will be the one to determine what to do, what should be doing. What? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in life. Jesus was saying, hey, if you know that the sun will rise up and it's a sunny day and it's going to be cloudy, it's going to be rainy day, you should. Let's keep on reading. This is the problem. If you have legal dispute about such matters, why go to outside church judges who are not respected by the church? Next verse. I'm saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? What are you coming to church for? a kan pariwo ge ka jo ka ro ka lo le ka ji ka jeun ka pariwo ka jeun ka pawe.
Usually this kind of formulate our sensibility and make us better in our judgment. Why all this waste of time putting on solar, putting on light, putting you know that, and it's not. Oh.
Next verse.
But instead, believers choose another right in front of unbelievers. See, sometimes our evangelism is more than the papers and the programs. The real evangelism is our lives. You can't tell me that soap is the best soap in the world and go for some more. The cloth is not well cleaned. No, do that. Let's look at next verse. Now, this is where the problem is. Even to have such lawsuit with one another is a defeat for you. Now, look on the screen. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Wow. Wow. That's maturity. Have you ever seen them saying they go to Supreme Court? And Supreme Court, somebody will say, that case was not well handled, but we accept the verdict. Have you heard that before? You see what? Because there's no other court above Supreme Court. Am I correct? When Supreme Court says, this case, you are wrong, is right. Even when you are right, you're going to have to accept that from Supreme Court. Even to have such lawsuit with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let ourselves be cheated? What? When I was growing up, and my brothers and co, they fight over things and, you know, take things away from you. Just take the sweet and swallow it. Huh? And I'm starting to cry. My daddy will say, don't worry, I have another sweet for you. Leave him alone. Then he bring out three or four suit. And come on, go. You know, Abraham said to his brother, his own nephew, that the father was his brother, not mate. His father of Lot, the father of Lot was his brother. And they began to fight over where the headman, Nigerian problem, you know? Where they're going to graze. Huh? And Abraham said, you know what? Let's go and read it. Judges 13. I'm showing you something about living. Some of us, can you just imagine that you prosper so well? You have so much money, somebody takes your 3 million. You're saying, Mamulo. You do that? 3 million, okay. No, 3,000. Mamulo, 3,000. 10,000. Marulu, see. 100,000. Agbalo, 1 million. Ilie, ni masusi. Genesis 13, verse 4. Let's read. Genesis 13, forgive me. Verse 4. Genesis 13, verse 4. Thank you. Next verse. Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together. And for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Man, can you imagine such a blessing of God? And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of livestock. Herdsmen, they've always been fighting. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Look at next verse. So Abraham said, can you look up everybody? So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your men. For we are. See, he's bringing that bigger. It's removed the plank. The plank is, we're just fighting. No, the plank has been removed. Now, is we are brothers. We have the same. We've been together we've been together for years. I brought you up. You hang around me. Come on, we're friends. We are husband and wife. We are family. We are church members. We follow Jesus. Oh, no. Let's let the highest common factor determine the issue here. Praise God, somebody. For we are brethren. Look at next verse. It's not the whole land before you. Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. Who takes first? You see, when somebody is this mature in judgment, he's not looking for his own thing. Not to go, I'm going to get something. I'm going to have something. I'm going to, let me make you laugh. Years ago, I was in Lagos just finishing the meeting or about to enter a meeting, and a baffoon rang. And I saw, we are a group of journalists in Abeokuta, and we are picking the man of the pastor of the year. I said, Bobo, the pastor of this year. What about next year, uncle? All those things are full of ourselves with. 2010, pastor of the year. How many years ago? So, and he said, and we have two choices, you and another pastor. And we finally struggle, and we pick you. So they sent me the text. So I took my son to just look inside. I know they are after money too. I've removed the plank. I can see clearly. So I said, Bible says, in honor, prefer one another. I said, that brother that's supposed to take from me, I prefer him in honor. I give it to him. Huh? If you go to the right, then I go to the left. Now let's keep reading. And Lord lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Israel. See, Lord, look. He saw the land resourceful. He saw green, evergreen. But something was missing in his sight. He had bad judgment. This is where the problem is. Look at next verse. Go back to that verse before we came over here. Give us the verse before this verse. Okay, next verse. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. They separated from each other. Next verse. Maybe we find it next verse. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of plain, pitch his tent, even as far as Sodom. Look at next verse. And the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Let me round up. I have to stop now. When you are judging people and matters, put people over the matters. Let me explain that. If you are going to work somewhere and it's a brilliant place, they pay you 3 million per month, ask yourself, what kind of people are working there? Because if you go down there and the people make your life miserable, that 3 million can satisfy your life. Make some sense? So, we must be seen properly. Make some sense? Last one today is a quiet teaching. But judging is very good. And can I close like this? Anytime you make wrong judgment, appeal the case. Are you hearing me? Appeal the case. Sorry, sir. Let's revisit the judgment. This happens sometimes. Somebody you are fighting with and you just blast them very well. Huh? Maybe your husband and wife, or maybe your friend, your brothers and sisters. And then when you finish, how do you leave? You have to redeem that case. You can't just stay like that forever. So what do you do? Hey, bro. No, I'm not picking your call. Hey, bro. I'm not picking your call. One time you go and use your car to stop you on the road. Bro, relax now. Let me tell you how I learned some of these things. By nature, I like things being perfect. So I'll go and do some work. When I used to print my stuff, you know, I just go out there and I'll fight the guys bad that they should do something quality for me. When I finish fighting, I buy them Coke. Huh? We just laugh together, laugh together. In my younger days, my wife and I, when we have any issue, we have issue. Like the woman or the issue of blood. You know. Have any issues. So you just Carol, Kaleo, Cabo, Casolayo, Cadillayo, you know. but I started noticing that there's something bigger than that. Our relationship, our life, our future, our children, our church, our work together with God. In my younger days, all those things that I just mentioned, I closed my eyes to them. But my older days, now I'm looking at
this matters more than the other ones. So what do? I wake up in the morning, make her a cup of tea. Mujulo now, mujulo. Right? You know, I told you before now that one of my dreams that when I, as a young person, one of my dreams that when I get married, my wife will wake me up with a cup of tea in the morning. But I just lie on the bed, say, dear, sweetie, wake up, take your cup of tea. And I'll say, mumbo. So one day, I find myself making tea for my wife. I said, boy, you are living the reverse of your dream. What happened to you? Who did you like this? I said, love did me like this. Agape told me crazy. Are you hearing me? And sometimes, you know, I don't want to make a cup of tea for her. I said, boy, go make a cup of tea. That's your destiny. Reverse your dream. Are you getting that? You know? Praise God. Praise God. Are you blessed today? Glory to Jesus. Judging. You really have some peace in life. I have some issues I'm dealing with right now. My wife was involved with some people like that. And I have to just, you know, listen to her advice, advising me, and kind of look at it. And see that at the end of the day, and this afternoon, I had something that was unusual about the matter that just threw me off balance. I said, what? That was happening to the person, no wonder. I told you the story, talk service before, that this man just entered the train in New York City with 5 children. They entered the train and the boy. This is so important. I want you to listen. Something you just said over here, I want you to just listen. He's talking about sometimes psychiatric problems that Christians may have sometimes, and people who are saved, and sometimes they may even commit suicide. And he's saying this, that those people, because of a lot of things in their head, could make them behave such a way that they won't do that normally speaking. I hope you are listening. So, when a Christian has nervous breakdown or mental disorder, it doesn't mean that he's aware fully of what he's doing. Like the mother here. I hope that's made some clarity. Thank you.
Now, back to the time when she was having a multitude of problems. Finally, she was sent to a Baptist hospital in Dallas, and the leading nerve specialist in the southwestern part of the country. After examination, the doctor said that the chances of an operation correcting her blindness were not good because of her mental and physical breakdown. Mama had become blind. Her eyes looked as perfect as anyone's, but due to shock to the nerve of her eye, it was not strong enough for the light. When it comes to nerves, that wise doctor advised her, "You can do more than anybody or any medication you could take. The main thing to do is this: talk to yourself." The Bible says in Ephesians 6:13-14, "Having done all to stand, stand therefore." When you feel these attacks coming on, say to yourself, "No, I am not going to have an attack." Even we could tell when one of those terrible attacks was coming. She will go into a preliminary attack of depression. She will get to thinking about everything that ever had happened to her in life. You see, our parents had not wanted her to marry my father. Not that he didn't come from a good family. His father was a millionaire, but he was an only son who always had been given everything he wanted. My grandfather spent $50,000, and that was big money then, setting him up in business 5 different times. But he never made a success of anything. He just ran through the money. When Mama married him against her parent wishes, she said, "If I make my bed hard, I'll lie on it." She made her bed hard, and she tried to lie on it, but she just could not make it. If you are not careful, you can get to thinking about the past mistakes you made, where you missed it, and get depressed. Then you can get into a spirit of depression, and that opens the door to the devil. You can get so perplexed and depressed and oppressed until you do not know what you are doing, which direction you are going, and hardly what your name is. We knew nothing about divine healing, praying, and all that, but Mama did heed this doctor's advice. She simply stood her ground. She refused to have any more attacks. A few times she would start to go into one of these periods of depression, but she would do what the doctor said, and never again did she go into one of the violent attacks where her mind was completely gone. Our preacher did not know how to help her. The doctor knew enough to at least give her scripture to stand against the thing. The doctor recognized it as an enemy, not a friend. The thief is come to steal, to kill, to destroy. I'm come that you might have life. The doctor instructed her, "Stand against it. Talk to yourself. Say, 'I am not going to have another attack. I am not going to do it.'" She stood her ground. Even every symptom left. For more than 50 years thereafter, she never had any nervous problems whatsoever. The doctor helped Mama see where the opposition was. He helped her understand that she could stand against it. You do not have to yield to things that are wrong. You can stand against them. Too often, though, we limit our idea of what is wrong or evil to things like lying, stealing, adultery, murder, etc., and that is evil, all that is wrong. But there are many other things that are wrong. The Bible tells us that doubt is evil. He calls the report those 10 spies brought back after spying about Canaan's land as evil reports. Numbers 13, 32. I am glad I got hold of this truth when I was young, when I was just a young man. Since even before I was filled with the Holy Spirit or knew anything about it, this is the practice I always follow if doubt comes. I stop wherever I am, in the middle of a room, the middle of the streets, or wherever. If I am alone, I say it loud. If I am around the people, I say it quietly. You don't want to startle people. If doubt persists in coming against my mind, I say, doubt, I resist you. I speak to it. You see, I am recognizing the source of my opposition as the enemy. I am not going to yield to it. It is Satan. Doubt, I resist you. I say in the name of Jesus, I refuse to doubt. If fear comes, I am tempted to be afraid just as much as anyone else. I speak to it. Fear, I say, I resist you. I recognize fear and doubt as being evil. If the thought to steal came to me, I will not yield to it. Would you? If you were visiting my house and saw a $100 bill lying on the table, you wouldn't say, I believe I'll get that. Nobody will see. Brother Egan left the room. No, you wouldn't yield to it. You will resist it. You will not get up in the church and testify. I want you to pray for me. The devil is trying to get me to steal $100 from Brother Egan. No, you would be ashamed of it. You would be ashamed to get up and say, the devil has tempted me to rob a gas station down on the corner. I almost did it. I even pulled in there and stopped. Then I got cold feet. You all pray for me that I won't rob that gas station. No. The very minute such a thought came, you will stand against it. You will recognize its source. If a thought of doubt comes, if a thought of fear comes, resist it the same way. Speak to it and say, no, I will not entertain that. Recognize if you want to walk in victory, that the source of all opposition is, that the source of all opposition is Satan, and stand against it. Satan is the god of this world. He has a right to be here. Brother Egan, a man said, with a look of real seriousness on his face, I want you to pray for me. What for, brother? Tears came to his eyes. I want you to pray for me that I won't ever have any more trouble with the devil. I said, do you want me to pray that you will die? No, he said, I don't want to die. I said, the only way in the world you won't have any more trouble with the devil is to die and go on to heaven. As long as you are in this life, you are going to have trouble with him. He is the god of this world. There is no use in praying that you won't have any more trouble with the devil. He will show up on every corner. He has a right to be here until Adam's lease runs out. Demons which possess people would recognize Jesus and cry out to him, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Are thou come either to torment us before the time? Matthew 8:29. The time has not yet come. When Adam's lease runs out, then the devil will be a goner. Until then, he has a right to be here. Blessed be God. We need to realize that we have authority over the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can stand against him. We can be victorious through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Wow. The teaching here is that the enemy comes to all of us, particularly in thoughts and in circumstances. I was really blessed by the story of his mother. And I want you to see that the mother married wrong. They knew that guy was a selfish guy. But she recovered her life. Like I said at the beginning of her teaching on George, that no matter what you find yourself in, you can come out of it. You can recover. Your life is not somebody else's hand. It's in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the key thing is that stand against it. Stand against the thoughts, the feelings that you are finished, that you are left to yourself. This is where mental health issues all over our land today. We Christians, we have better deal to deal with mental health issues because we are not alone. Praise God. Thou keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So I want you to keep your mind stayed on Christ. Now, please listen to this. A lot of things in life, they will happen because of our own mistakes, other people's mistakes in our life. And we wonder, for instance, look at Nigeria now. Nigeria has just been messed up by people who are just corrupt and politicians. And if you're not careful, we begin to take that as our own lot in life. But let's refuse to do that. I learned one lesson during COVID, that the COVID will not leave me helpless. Praise God, somebody. How many of you stood up against COVID when COVID was here? You did what you could, am I right? And here we are today. And there are small, small COVID around us today. They won't look big. I had a story about frog in the kettle. When you put frog into hot, very hot water, it will jump out immediately. But when you put a frog inside cold water and gradually begin to heat it up, that frog will stay in that cold water, heated up till it's dead. You know, COVID is big, and all of us start believing God, quoting Psalm 91. But this thing that happened in life, if you're not careful, we start yielding to them. And let me warn you, thoughts like this, will you keep on living well? Will your life turn on like this? How will you go? You have to learn to speak. You know, said, he will stand up and say, fear, I resist you. That, talk to yourself. That doctor told the woman, not pastor, stand against it. Thank God for that doctor's advice. Stand up against it. Don't let that one say, no, I refuse to. And she recovered from that. She even lost her eyes. She recovered from that. So I want you to just make up your mind. I'm standing against this thing. I'm not going to. It's easy to surrender. Praise God. I said, praise God. So let's read our Bible. Let's go back. Ephesians 6. Let's read it before we leave here. Give our offering. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Next verse. Put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, if you look at verse 10, it says finally. You know, before this finally, it talked about God's plan for us, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, Ephesians 3. He prayed for us. I want you to listen to this carefully. Then Ephesians 4, it talked about how God will give us all these ministers to help us to grow in our faith. I hope you are listening. Then Ephesians 5, it talked about we must learn to walk in love and serve God. And he began to talk about as God's children, we are going to be married, husband and wife, parent and children, workers and employers. After saying all that about marriage, career, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You must know that another figure in your life, they call him the final figure, that beside your husband, wife, children, friends, colleagues, career, he said, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Because at the end of the day, it's the thought in your life, the ideas in your life, that usually drag your life in the way it should go. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So he said, be strong in the Lord. Let's look at next verse. Put on the whole armor of God. What's that? Verse 12. Look at it. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against power, against what? Rulers of the darkness of this age. Against. These are the classes of evil spirits that come at us and put things in our head, in our circumstances, to discourage us, to make us feel useless, feel bad and feel as if maybe, I don't know. But we should not do that. Look at next verse. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You know, when he's talking like this, it means that there'll be resistance. There'll be things against us. Are you hearing me? Pastor, where is it coming from? We know where it's coming from. It's coming from the devil. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, next verse. Having guarded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having sword your feet, present of the gospel of peace, next verse. And above all, read this verse with me. What did he say? Above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts. These are arrows of the evil one. And we are going to quench it how? By the shield of our confidence in God. Now tell yourself, I have confidence in God. I trust in the faithfulness of God. God is able to keep his word in my life. His promises are yes and amen. I agree with God. I refuse to agree with Satan and all his works. Satan's plans is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am not available for that. God is giving me life. Life in abundance. Now, I want you to talk personally now. I don't know what you are facing. I don't know what you are doing. I don't know where you are. Can you now take those words and tell that personal issues in your life and say, I refuse to bow down to this. I refuse to give in to that. I refuse to allow depression, pain, bitterness formulate and determine my life. I choose to buy joy and peace. I refuse to let pain and sorrow and bitterness, but record of the past, affect me for evil. No, in Jesus' name, I take up the shield of faith. I believe God. I believe his promises. I believe what he said will come to pass in my life. And I look forward to the goodness of God in the land of the living. Tell yourself, I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. God will help me. He has promised to help me. He will help me. I'm not helpless. He will strengthen me. I'm not weak. I'm not left to myself. The Lord is my help and my strength. The Lord is my light and my salvation. In Jesus' name. Whatever is happening in the world, God has put his angels charge over me. And they are watching all over my life. They are watching my spiritual affairs, my soul, my body, my career, my family. I believe God. His power is strong enough to keep me from every evil in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Tell yourself, as my days are going, so the faithfulness of God is increasing in my life. God's goodness is manifesting more and more in my life. The things I've not yet seen, they will come. The things I don't want to see that's from the devil, they will not manifest. I refuse their dominion over my life. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. Let's thank him. Let's thank him. Let's appreciate God. Let's appreciate God. Lift your hands. Let's appreciate. Giving thanks continually. The fruit of your lips, sacrifice of praise. Can we just thank him? Can we just bless him? Let's thank him that he has not finished with us. Let's thank him that our best days are still ahead of us. Let's thank him that he's making all things work together for our good. And tell yourself, because God is faithful, I will keep on going. Because God is faithful, I'll be strong. Because God is faithful, I will abide. And because God is faithful, I will see his goodness in the land of the living. I refuse to yield to evil, to failure, to defeat in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Things are getting better with my life. I'm learning better ways to do things in the name of Jesus. I am making right judgments. I'm not doing what will crash my life, what will destroy my life. I have access to the wisdom of God. I am wise by the strength of Jesus. I know what to do, and I will do it well. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Praise the Lord. Those words, say them to yourself. Like that man said, we just stop, say to himself. Once in a while, I even write them down. When I feel I can't say anything, I just open it and say it with my mouth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give our offering. Get out of here. Praise God. God is good.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's give. Our dear Father, we bring our offering to you. Lord, we judge you faithful. We bless you. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Whoa. Yeah, this is good. This is good. Hebrews 11:11. I like this one. About judging. I just have myself saying out of my mouth. Hebrews 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, and she got the help when it was even helpless. Because what? She judged God faithful, who had promised. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, I'm judging God faithful. I conclude on this. God is faithful. God is merciful. God is good to me.
Woo!
Glory to God. Judging God faithful. Can you imagine? I'm sitting on the bench. I'm telling God, you are faithful. Huh? And I bang the, what do you call it now? Boo, boo, boo. I declare God is faithful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give.